This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Schizophrenia and Psychosis Action Alliance, shattering barriers to treatment, survival, and recovery. People with schizophrenia can recover and thrive. More at wecanthrive.org.
This episode will spoil a movie that was in theaters in 2003. You've been warned.
You're listening to Shortwave from NPR.
20 years ago, a disaster movie came out that was both riveting and wholly ridiculous. You might be thinking, which one, Gina? There were so many. But the one we're going to spoil and poke fun at today, it takes the cake.
So the basic premise of The Core is shockingly about The Core.
Oh yeah, we're talking about The Core!
Earth's core has stopped rotating, and in the hypothetical world of this movie, it is the rotation of the core that causes our magnetic field. And so we have to somehow start the core spinning again.
So we're heading into the Earth. So instead of astronauts,
a group of Terranauts, not astro, but Terranauts, are sent to the core to kick it back into action. And as with all bad science movies, this is accomplished via nukes.
That's Dr. Jackie Kaplan-Auerbach, professor of geology and associate dean of the College of Science and Engineering at Western Washington University. She was my buddy while I worked there. Her and many other geologists feel this movie is a cult classic.
My original perspective on this movie was just that it was so colossally bad that it was wonderful.
So wonderful that for years she has shown this film in her class.
I teach a class that is really all about Earth's interior. So it's about Earth's mantle and mantle convection and the role that mantle convection plays in plate tectonics, which is sort of the fundamental theory that underlies everything we know about Earth science. It also talks about the core. And, you know, everybody at the end of a quarter of working hard and doing math and doing physics and reading papers deserves a break. And so in the period that is reserved for the final exam, we just sit and we watch the movie and we eat popcorn and we giggle.
For years, you listeners have begged us to cover the bad science in this movie. And since I started at NPR, I've carried the fight for y'all, badgering the team to let me do this. You don't need to have seen this movie to join our voyage today. Because finally, on this, the 20th anniversary of Hilary Swank saving the world, you, me, and Jackie will journey to the depths of the Earth together to celebrate our victory! A journey that begins with the Shortwave team watch party.
I will start the movie if you all want.
Did this come out before or after the day after tomorrow?
Oh my god. Hilary.
The super cool titanium tungsten mix material unobtainiumness. That's no basis in reality.
Wait, you can tell he's evil because he just said, let's go make $3 million.
Today on the show, we joyfully fall to Earth's core and learn what science is not. Congratulations, The Core. You are loved. I'm Regina Barber, and you're listening to Shortwave from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from the American Cancer Society. Dr. Alpa Patel leads a team that researches cancer risk factors, and she shares how a new study aims to impact an underrepresented community.
My greatest hope for the Voices of Black Women study is that it will help us understand and identify culturally tailored ways to change and really eliminate the unacceptable disparities for future generations of Black women as it relates to cancer.
To learn more, go to voices.cancer.org. This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Integrative Therapeutics, with vitamins and supplements previously available only through practitioners, including Cortisol Manager. Unlock your best self with clinician-curated supplements from Integrative Therapeutics, now on Amazon.
So the film The Core opened in theaters on March 28, 2003, and it has so much good stuff in it. And in the words of my co-host Emily Kwong and her dad.
Okay, I know this is supposed to be a bad movie.
Pretty compelling.
But pretty compelling, say the Kwongs.
Okay, so Jackie, I am nothing if not linear. So let's go through some of the most iconic science-y scenes in chronological order.
Let's do it.
First major disaster movie scene, the magnetic field is wreaking havoc after the core stops rotating.
It's okay, son. These things happen all the time.
What's happening, Jack?
The birds are all freaking out. We're like in, I don't really remember where we are. Like,
it's London, right?
Yeah, and pigeons suddenly start going haywire, like they've got their internal homing devices or whatnot so tuned to Earth's magnetic field that somehow it just fries their brains, and they start like smashing randomly into windows and falling dead out of the sky and like hitting young children.
Yeah.
Let's go.
It's total chaos, and it's our first indication that something is wrong.
Let's actually go into what makes Earth's magnetic field.
Okay. Earth's magnetic field is this phenomenal thing that, you know, we've been aware of for millennia, really. Sailors have used the Earth's magnetic field.
That's how compasses work.
Exactly. Some of our most early navigation was dependent on it. So sometimes we tend to imagine that Earth just has a magnet inside of it that generates this. And it's a little more complicated than that, and it's actually one of the really fundamental problems with the movie. The movie talks about the fact, correctly, that Earth's magnetic field is generated in its core, the deepest layer within the planet. But the suggestion is that what causes the field is the fact that our inner core is rotating. And that's not really correct. Mm-hmm. The thing that really causes the magnetic field is basically the fluid dynamics of Earth's liquid outer core.
So this dynamic process, even if they had gotten it right, that it's not this overall spin, but kind of these more complex spins, even if that stopped, what would happen to the magnetic field?
Certainly, we know that Earth's magnetic field does protect us from what we call the solar wind, which are charged particles that come from the sun. It is not, as the movie suggests, that we're all going to be fried by the sun's microwave radiation. And this also, I think, speaks to the public's lack of knowledge of microwaves. Mm-hmm. We just know that we put things in it and they cook. And so we're like, oh my goodness, we'll cook. Well, microwaves are not affected by magnetic fields. Mm. This is not a thing.
Let's get to the next kind of big thing. The scientists' answer for restarting the rotation of Earth's core is to nuke it.
With luck, irony will break for the good guys for once, and the world's biggest weapons of mass destruction will help save the world.
Would this work?
Heck no. No, you can't nuke the core into rotation. There's so many reasons you can't nuke the core into rotation.
And yet the scientists in this movie are trying to do it anyway. And on their journey to do that, these scientists are researching a new element, right?
What do you call this material?
Well, its real name has 37 syllables. I call it unobtainium.
Unobtainium.
The unobtainium will take the heat and the pressure and transform it to energy, which in turn reinforces the shell of the ship, you see. So the hotter and the deeper she gets, the stronger she gets, theoretically.
Help our listeners. Is there such a thing?
Not yet, but one can only hope. I do think that actually this is not the only movie that unobtainium has been in. There was unobtainium in Avatar as well. So I think we're obviously getting close to it, you know, that we're now in two movies. It's all we need.
And at last, right, after surviving bird attacks and discovering a fake element, we are finally heading deep into the Earth, specifically the mantle, which in real life humans have never done, right?
We've never so much as drilled to the mantle. We've never seen it in its native environment. So when we talk about could we get to the core, we can't even get through the crust. We can't even get through this tiny little skin. So we're a really long ways off from doing that.
But let's put reality aside. They make it through the mantle like really quick.
Oh, super fast.
The mantle is a chemical hodgepodge of a variety of elements.
Say, I think. I don't know
Well, Commander, wise men say when in doubt, you should go around.
No, it's too big. We turn too slow. Anything that we can't go through displays as black. So what's static?
It's nothing.
What do you mean?
We haven't even gotten to the liquid part. And suddenly they find themselves in this enormous open space.
His cavern.
This cavern, what they call like the Grand Canyon of crystals or something like that.
It's nothing. It's empty space.
I never taught the computer how to read empty space.
I never taught Virgil how to fly.
So, spoiler alert, there's not empty space in the mantle. And unlike the movie, it's not surrounded by crystals. Instead, it's actually this extremely pressurized, mostly solid place, right?
Right. So, it's squeezed. Like being in the bottom of the pool where your ears start to hurt, that's because the weight of all that water is squeezing on your eardrums. If you go deeper, there's more water. So that's why at the bottom of the ocean, it's highly, highly pressurized. If you do all that under rock, that pressure increases much, much quicker. Here we are, 700 miles deep in the Earth, which is another way we know we're in the mantle. The pressure at that point would be astronomical, be enormous, enormous pressures. There is no way you would have a big open empty space at those kinds of pressures. If you had a big open space, something would have to be pushing against the weight of 700 miles of rock over your head. That's the only way to keep that thing open. So they're out there walking around like it's atmospheric pressure.
But you have crystals.
But you have crystals, and they say,
I think it's a geode, but I don't understand how it could have survived down here.
Right, which is like so wonderful and so wrong. The type of crystals that grow in a geode are simply not the type of crystals that we have in Earth's core. The chemistry is totally wrong. So the pressures are wrong. The fact that people just like step out of this thing and are not instantly crushed once they are no longer protected by unobtainium is totally wrong.
There's not diamonds down there, right, Jackie?
That's at least not a thing we know of.
But through all this bonkers science, our heroes prevail.
Yes.
They restart the core. It's spinning again. And I guess that's what I love about this movie. It seems to be all these like disaster movies smashed into one, like The Day After Tomorrow, Armageddon, even The Birds.
Yes.
Why do you think The Core is such a cult classic?
I do think this movie has something for everybody. And I think that's in many respects why it's a cult classic. Everybody who has taken, you know, a middle school science class can identify something completely silly. But the drama is wonderful. We're trying to save the Earth. We're trying to save the planet. We've got this, you know, motley crew of Terranauts who are in this, you know, phenomenal, the future is now kind of vessel. Again, we have nukes. We have moments that tug at your heartstrings. Oh my goodness. It really tears you up, I say.
All right. Well, Jackie, thank you for taking me to the center of the Earth and back. It was an amazing experience to watch it with the Shortwave crew, and I just hope you continue showing it to your students. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It is always such a pleasure to talk about this movie. And I really do hope people who haven't seen it will go out and enjoy, pop some popcorn, sit down with your favorite beverage, kick your feet up, and enjoy the center of the Earth.
Your requests were heard, listeners. And if you want to demand we cover other bad science-y movies, send us an email at shortwave@npr.org.
This episode was produced by Liz Metzger with help from Margaret Serino, edited by our managing producer Rebecca Ramirez, and fact-checked by Will Chase. Our audio engineer was Josh Newell. Beth Donovan is our senior director of programming, and Anya Grundman is our senior vice president of programming.
I'm Regina Barber. Thanks for listening to Shortwave. From NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Vuori, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to Vuori.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.